Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. As we are having a climactic moment in the Gospel of Luke at the death of our Lord Jesus in this sermon series with Jesus in Jerusalem. Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. Listen closely. This is the word of the Lord. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breast and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pause now to pray. Oh Lord, we ask that you would bless this message. We pray that you would draw us nearer to Christ, that faith about which we prayed in our prayer of confession would now be further refined as an answer to that prayer, that where there is no faith, there would now be faith, that where there is weak faith, it would grow stronger, where there is battered faith, that it would be refined, and where there is growing faith, that it would find miraculous power placed in Jesus Christ. Build faith, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and let us all say, amen. Well, next week's Thanksgiving, and some of us will travel to Grandma's house. One of the traditions of our grandmas every day is to open up the newspaper and read the obituary. When you're older, you're interested in such things, young people. What is an obituary? If you're young, you might not know what it is. An obituary is an article in the paper, now in the internet, about the death of someone and a brief story about their life. That's an obituary. And so you can read obituaries in the news every week. Now, when you read an obituary is usually careful not to describe the sensitive details about the final days of a person's life. It's just too sad and painful. It's not proper to report on that. And so we normally don't talk about the final details about what it was like for grandma or grandpa to pass away. We might ask the question, did they suffer long or was it short? We might ask the question, was it expected or was it unexpected? But usually beyond those two questions, adults, your parents will tell you, we usually don't ask more than that because dying can be a very dehumanizing time. And we desire to preserve the dignity and spare people the shame of their final hours. But this was not the case with our Lord Jesus. His closest friends and family, the apostles, describe his final days, his final hours, with the details of his death and burial like no other. They actually talk about the fluids that came out of the side of our Lord. They actually describe in detail the shrieks that he uttered in his great pain. They even describe his grave clothes in which he was buried, even the aroma of perfume or cologne that would go on his body. Those kind of details seem ill-mannered in our culture, almost vulgar in our day. Why do the gospel writers describe these horrific details? Well, they do so for three reasons that I hope are riveted on your mind and build your faith at the end of this sermon. Here it is. The first reason they go into the details is to show you, dear church, that Jesus really and truly died. That day, Jesus did not swoon. Jesus did not black out. The cool grave did not later bring him out of a coma. No, Jesus was really and truly dead on that Good Friday. Now, the Gospel of Luke places this fact beyond dispute by the testimony of three witnesses. I introduce to you witness number one, a centurion. You can read about him in verse 47. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Now, what is a centurion? Kids, it's a great Sunday school question, and if you can read the answers behind me. A centurion, century is 100 years. And so a centurion is a leader of 100. And so he was an officer who was in charge of 100 soldiers. Now that's very responsible. He was a commissioned officer in the Roman military, and not just anybody these days can be a commissioned officer in the military. It's quite an honor. And the centurion stood by the cross, and it was his duty to report the death of the condemned to his higher officer, to his governor, Pilate. Now, the punishment for a false report to a Roman governor for that centurion would have been death. And so I dare say that if you were in charge of an autopsy, if you were placed in charge of a coroner's report at the threat of death, you'd probably do a thorough job at it. The centurion was the first witness. Jesus was dead. Witness number two was one Joseph of Arimathea. We read about him in the next three verses. Listen to those verses. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. Joseph of Arimathea, a very learned man, a very respected man. He was a man who was wealthy, but the wealth had not gone to his head. He was a very pious man. He was a very reputable man. He was actually one who served on the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court. He was a man respected by all quarters of society, secular and sacred. He gained audience with Pilate, a difficult thing to do. And this reputable witness was the one himself who lowered Jesus' body from the cross. He removed the nails from the hand and feet, and he carried a cadaver to the tomb. Jesus was dead, said witness number two. Witness number three was a whole group, a group of women. We read about them in verse 49. It said, "But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things." Now, I could also mention the women who later laid him in the tomb. I could mention the priest who sealed the grave. I could mention the soldiers who stood guard. All of them were witnesses that Jesus that day really and truly died. And that fact, dear church, is very good news for you and me. But first, kids, let me tell you a story. King Cyrus was a great king, and he was a founder of the Persian Empire. King Cyrus once captured a prince and his entire family, and the king asked the prince this question: "What will you give me if I release you?" He replied, "Half of my wealth." And the king asked, "And if I release your children?" He said, "Why, all of my wealth." And then he said, "And if I release your wife, your majesty?" He said, "If you release my wife, I will give you me." And for that devotion, King Cyrus was charmed, and he freed them all. And that, dear church, is what Jesus has done for you and me. He offered himself for you and me, and it was not just an offer. He followed through to the bloody end. His death on the cross secured our freedom with God. For if Christ did not die on the cross, listen closely now. If this event had not happened, you would receive not much comfort from today's sermon. Now, you would receive some. You would receive some comfort coming to church on Sundays, hearing about the Lord Jesus. For then you would hear sermons about his life and his teaching. You would hear sermons about his miracles and parables and beatitudes, his wisdom for living, his motivating example. But, dear church, with all of that knowledge over all of those years of sermons, you would still go to the grave in your sins. You would go to the grave a rather enlightened person. You would go to the grave a rather well-rounded and wise person, but you would still go dead in your sins and trespasses. But that is not the case. That is why today's sermon and every sermon gives utter comfort. Because the servant has been afflicted. The lamb has been slain. Jesus made his bed in the grave for you. And so for Christians, death has lost its sting. We don't just discuss death. We don't just speak about its inevitability. We don't just speak about the transitions and the tranquility we should all assume as we go through the natural journey from birth to life to death, and then walk away with a solemn sense of confusion. The Bible says, through the Apostle Paul, he declares it so boldly in 1 Corinthians 15:55, "Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting?" All right, kids, you get another story today to perk you up. So there was a little boy in a car with his dad, and they were driving down the road on a summer day, and their windows were open. They enjoyed the breeze. Well, as sometimes happens, a bee flew in, and the little boy started to panic because the bee was beginning to buzz all around him. Finally, his dad, trying to slap it away, reached over, and he tried to just grab the bee, but the bee then escaped his hand, and the little boy panicked even all the more. But his dad said to him, "Son, look, you're safe. The bee stung me. It can't hurt you now. It only has one stinger. And it stung me." Kids, that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. Jesus took the ultimate one sting of death, and he removed it for us all. And that is why when you hear a sermon about Jesus, at the conclusion, you need not fear death. Death is now a stepping stone to glory, because Jesus removed its sting. Our sin-broken bodies will one day die, but at that moment, we will enter a new life, all because Jesus truly died for us. He really and truly died. Amen. Now, secondly, another reason for all of the details that day. First, Jesus, to show us Jesus really and truly died. Secondly, to show us that Jesus really and truly died so we will not despair when we face death. Look at verse 48, a picture of despair. It says in verse 48 in your Bibles, when all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and they went away. And that, dear church, is what death does. We beat our chest and we just want to disappear. Because death brings despair. The death of a loved one, a close loved one, can absolutely knock the breath out of your lungs. We call it grief. Some of us are still struggling with grief, even to this day. It seems like when grief strikes, that we feel like the rest of our life we're going to walk with a limp. That we are never going to be the same person we were before. I want you to know this, kids, because it's hard when you're young. Grief is real. Grief is deeply real. It's not a figment of the imagination when grandma or grandpa or mom or dad or older brother and sister just don't feel like doing anything. Grief is real. It's not a figment of the imagination, and you're going to have to get ready for it. One day, grief is coming for you. And when it strikes, it will feel like someone took a baseball bat to your gut. How are you going to handle it? One of my favorite bluegrass singers is Ralph Stanley. My dad had an 8-track tape in his car. We'd listen to Johnny Cash. We'd listen to some bluegrass. Ralph Stanley records a haunting song that later showed up in the movie, O Brother, Where Art Thou, giving a bit of a renaissance. It was called Death. And it goes like this. I wish I could sing it, but no, we won't sing in the pulpit. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? Well, what is this that I can't see with ice-cold hands taking hold of me? Well, I am death and none can excel. I'll open the door to heaven or hell. Woe, death, someone would pray. Could you wait to call me another day? The children prayed, the preacher preached. Time and mercy is out of your reach. I'll fix you till your feet can't walk. I'll lock your jaw till you can't talk. I'll close your eyes so you can't see this very air. Come and go with me. I'm death, I come to take the soul, leave the body and leave it cold. Oh, death, oh, death, won't you spare me over till another year? That's death. How will you handle it? Will you beat your chest and try to go away? For some of you, when death comes, it's going to feel like God is not there. It's going to feel like that your life has just been pointless. You might feel, as Shakespeare says, that all this world is a stage and all the people are merely players that ends in mere oblivion. Without teeth, without eyes, without taste, without everything. Now imagine the early disciples standing there. They'd left everything to follow Jesus, and in front of their very eyes, Jesus is executed. As Jesus is growing weaker, maybe they hoped for a miracle, maybe. Maybe the 10,000 angels will come. Oh, I can't wait. Carry him off the cross. But there was no trace of God intervening that day. No sign that God was going to change a thing. And when Jesus died, it was the darkest moment in their lives, because when death comes, dear church, your world collapses. Everything can seem like a pointless dream, all because it must end this way. It's easy to feel bewildered and despair when death comes. So, dear church, when your dark Friday comes, maybe you may cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But may I say to you with confidence that when your day comes, do not trust in your feelings. You might feel like God is gone, that darkness has covered the earth, that the glory has departed, but that has already happened on your behalf to Jesus. Don't think for a moment your God is gone. For after his death and resurrection, Jesus affirms, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You need not despair. The darkness has come and gone already for you. And in that moment, for you or a loved one, you can sing in your heart of hearts a great hymn. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Behind a frowning providence, there lies. So, wrapping up, the first point, we don't despair, or we don't doubt that Jesus really died. Secondly, we don't despair when we face death. And then finally, we do not devalue the sacrifice of Jesus. Verse 44, it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. Now, in these final verses, we see the infinite value of what Jesus did for us. At that very moment, Jesus paid for a trillion sins of God's elect. Jesus experienced a death most painful. He didn't quietly die in his old age. He wasn't surrounded by loved ones managing his pain with morphine. He was physically tortured, psychologically scarred, and spiritually isolated, truly dead in every sense for you. Every detail of the death of the burial of Jesus proves that restitution has been paid for you many times over. Theologians call this the infinite value of the atonement. It covers you and me at our worst. Listen to how the Scottish preacher Robert Murray McShane says this in his sermon on the infinity of Christ's suffering. He says, he was without any comforts of God, no feeling that God loved him, no feeling that God pitied him, no feeling that God supported him. God was his son before, now that son became all darkness. He was without God. He was as if he had no God. All that God had been to him before was taken from him now. He was godless, deprived of his God. He had the feeling of the condemned when the judge says, depart from me, ye cursed. He felt that God said the same to him, and he did this for me, for me. Christ paid restitution for your sins a million times over. No one should ever doubt what he has done for you. Your guilt is expiated, God's just anger propitiated. So do not devalue this, dear church. We celebrate it. The church is not about people. It is not about socializing. It is not about mission. It is about Christ. It is about the infinite value of Christ. Everything else flows from the infinite God, Son of God, and his infinite work on the cross. So, dear church, don't walk around saying, I don't feel forgiven. I still feel guilty. Look at the cross and then come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. The infinite value of your Savior's death has covered you a million times over and more. So, dear church, Jesus really and truly died. His brutal and shameful death was of infinite value to you and me, and that is why every morning you can wake up and know and feel you are forgiven. That is why you have the freedom to no longer fear death. That is why you have the freedom to admit you are wrong without fear. Because the death and burial of Jesus has fully and justly paid for our many sins. And let all God's people say, amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we pray that we would live and revel in the good that came out of that dark Friday. We pray, O Lord, that it would touch our faith daily, that we would meditate for just a moment on a day-by-day basis of the infinite work of the infinite Son of God. He endured death that we fear without him most. He emerged victorious so that we no longer need fear death. We have a mighty Savior who is able to save, and we can face life with faith, with hope, and with love. Thank you, O Lord. Touch us with this vital truth. Fan faith from an ember to a flame. We humbly ask in Jesus' name, and let all God's people say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151. Or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.